All parents make mistakes. I make mistakes, you make mistakes, all parents make mistakes. But wouldn't you like to know how to avoid those mistakes? I bet you are. In today's episode, I'm going to share with you 5 things that parents say to their anxious children when they are stressed. We're going to look about what those 5 things are, why are they wrong, and even better, what should you say instead. So stay tuned and see me after the intro. Welcome to the Apparently Parent podcast. My name is Iran Katz, and I'm a clinical psychologist, a parenting counselor, and also a father. In this show, we combine the art of parenting with the science of psychology. So if you want to understand your children and yourself better, lead your family into calmer waters, and reach the end of the day with a smile on your face, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Iran Katz. Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to the 23rd episode of the Apparently Parent podcast. And I want to share with you a little story that happened to me, or actually to someone else, but I was a witness a couple of days ago. So I was walking down the street to my office, from the car to my office, and there was a mom and a child. I think the child was about, I think she was 11 years old, something like that. And they were walking and talking, and the child seemed quite distressed. And I overheard the girl saying she really doesn't want to go to the dentist. And her mom was holding her hand quite firmly and walking quite quickly. I guess they were late to the dentist. And she didn't bother to look at her child when she told her to stop being such a wuss and complain all the time. And it's only a dentist, and there's nothing to worry about, and it's not even going to hurt. And as I listened to that, my heart really went out for that little girl, because I know how she feels. And I figured out that I may know how she felt at that moment when she heard her mom telling her all those things. And it got me thinking about the mistakes that we sometimes do when we tell our children things like, hey, there's nothing to worry about, or don't act like that, and all the things that we tend to tell them when they are stressed and when they are anxious. And this is the topic of today's episode. So we're going to talk about 5 things that parents tend to say to their stressed and anxious children. We're going to talk about 5 things that you should never say to your stressed child, and what can you say instead. Now, right off the bat, I want to tell you, it's not my place to judge any one of you. It's not my plan, it's not my goal, it's not what I'm here to do. I do the same mistakes, don't think that I don't. So when I call these 5 things that you should never say to your stressed child, I don't mean that if you do, you're gonna ruin them, okay? But I want you to be aware of those things. And if you do sometimes blurt them out and say them, well, you can fix that later. As long as you're conscious to that, as long as you're mindful, and as long as you're connected to your own values as a parent, to your own purpose, you will know how to move away from those things and into the better options that can really help your child. So, without further ado, let's talk about the first thing that you should never tell your child, and that is, there's nothing to worry about. I think this is one of the most common things parents say to their kids. Whatever the stressful situation is, okay, this is something that we automatically think about. And there's a good reason for that. There's a good reason we tend to tell our children there's nothing to worry about. Because by telling this to our kids, we are kind of telling the same thing to ourselves. Because when our children are stressed, sometimes this gets us stressed as well. Maybe we are stressed of the same situations. For example, I have fear of flying. So if my child has airplane anxiety and I'm stressed in the airplane, it's going to be hard for me to support my child, right? Because I'm stressed about the same thing. But it doesn't have to be like that. You can be stressed about your child's stress, because if your child is walking down the street and screaming and crying that he doesn't want to go to the dentist, for example, you're stressed about the situation, about thinking that you're going to be judged by all those strangers that you never seen before and you're never going to see again, but you suddenly care so much about what they think about you that you get stressed, and then you react in a way that's supposed to calm you down. So when you tell your child that there's nothing to worry about, you're trying to calm yourself down. So what's so wrong about saying something like that to calm both you and your child? The problem with saying there's nothing to worry about is that usually it's just wrong. The truth is there's a lot to worry about. And by telling your children that there's nothing to worry about, you're kind of invalidating their own view of the world. So let's take a different example. Let's say you take your child to the playground and your child starts to climb a tall ladder to get to the slide. And then she reaches the top of the slide and then she gets really scared. Maybe she's weeping. Maybe she's asking you to come and, you know, get out, get up from your bench and get away from your phone and help her to go down. And you can see that she's stressed. So if you say to her there's nothing to worry about or there's nothing to be afraid of, you're kind of lying, aren't you? Because objectively, she's in a dangerous position. She's high above the ground. And if she's going to fall, she's going to hurt herself. Maybe she's going to hurt herself. So telling her that her fear is unjustified is problematic because of two things. First, it's confusing for her and making her doubt her own instincts, which are healthy instincts. And the second thing, it leaves her alone with her own sensations and feelings of fear. So, for example, that woman with the daughter going to the dentist, by telling her that it's not going to hurt, it was a lie because sometimes a dentist treatment hurts. She doesn't know if it's not going to hurt. So by trying to calm her child down, she's kind of invalidating her fear about the pain. So what can you do instead? So instead of telling your child that there's nothing to fear or nothing to worry about, start by validating that fear. If you follow me for quite some time, you know that validation is one of the most important things about parenting. By saying, you're feeling scared now because this is a high spot. I'm talking about the girl on the slide, okay? And you're feeling unsure if you could come down. And also by approaching the child and not leaving her physically alone over there, okay? You're sending her a couple of really important messages. You show her that you see her emotions and you understand them. Even if you don't agree with them, you show her that you see her emotions and you understand them and you respect them. You're also naming the emotion for her. For example, scared in that situation. You have to remember that children don't born with the capacity to talk emotionese, which is the language of emotions. Heck, sometimes adults even don't speak that language, right? We have to teach our children how to speak emotionese by showing her the name of the emotions that they're having. And by validating their emotions, you're also showing them that you're with them and you can handle those feelings. So that mom with the child going to the dentist could have stopped and look at her child and tell her, you know, I can see you're really afraid about the pain because maybe you're going to get a pain relief shot. And that's painful by itself, right? I can see you're afraid or worried about the pain. I understand that. And we're going to do our best to minimize the pain as much as possible. But yes, sometimes it's painful. And then you can go on and talk about that, you know, it's better to have this little pain instead of not doing anything and having a much bigger pain down the road if you don't treat your teeth, for example. So you should not just leave it at that I see your pain, okay? But you have to first come from that place of validation, of telling them that you see their emotion, that you respect their emotions, you see the fear, you see the anxiety, you see the stress, and that's fine. You can handle that. They are not alone in that, and they are not crazy for having that. So the first thing that you should never say to your stressed child is, there's nothing to worry about. Let's move on to the second thing, which is, don't be such a sissy, baby, little girl, whatever, okay? Filling the blank. Don't be such a blank. Now, I have to admit, this one makes me angry when I hear that. Whenever I hear a parent and... Dude, I'm a dad myself, and usually I see dads saying those things to their children. Something like, don't be a sissy, okay? It happened a couple of years ago, but I still remember going to the playground with my child and this dad with a kid, I don't know, maybe he was 4 years old, a boy, and the boy was climbing on some ropes, and he was really afraid to go down by himself. And the dad was right next to him. He could reach out and help the kid. And he was like standing with hands on his hips and telling him, don't be afraid, don't be a sissy, be a man. And I didn't say anything. Maybe I should have, I don't know. I went crazy. I was like, what are you doing? That was my feelings. I hate the don't be such a blank phrase. For some reason, we tend to associate being scared, stressed, or anxious with being a baby or a little girl. And why is that? Why do we still do that in, you know, it's 2020, okay, almost 2021. So anyway, this is not something you want to tell your child because it's just not helpful. You won't make your child suddenly less anxious or become brave all of a sudden. You can't make your child, quote unquote, man up by saying those things to him. The only effect you're going to get by telling your child to stop being a sissy or a little baby is shaming your child. And believe me, if you care about your children, shame is really not the place you want to go with them. This is a poisonous, toxic emotions, and you never want to evoke shame in them. Now, this whole concept of shame is too big to go into right now. I have a blog post in my website. Okay, it's not a podcast episode. Maybe it will be someday, but it's a written post about the difference between shame and guilt, which is another thing. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. So you can go to apparentlyparent.com/23. This will take you to the show notes of this episode, and I will link to that article over there if it's of interest to you. But just to summarize it quickly, shame is, again, as I've said, a toxic feeling, and it seeps its way into your child's sense of self and kind of erodes it from the inside. You never want to go to shame. So what can you do instead? So first of all, just don't say it. Put it out of your dictionary. Even if you think it or feel it in your bones, notice it. Take a breath and refrain from saying it. Because I bet that if you listen to this episode and if you care about these issues, you care about positive, conscious, compassionate parenting, and it's not in your values to shame your children by telling them, man up, don't be a girl, don't be a sissy, don't be a baby, etc. Now, if you do feel it in your bones, if you're thinking, that's okay, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Maybe your mind is just repeating things that you heard as a child, and it's not your fault. But the question is what you do with that. So if you choose not to say it, then you're a better person. So you can again say something like, I see this is hard for you. You're feeling really stressed right now and you don't know what to do about it. That's okay. I'm here for you. Let me help you with it. So you're validating the emotion and you offer help without shaming your child. Okay, so the third thing that you should never tell your children when they are anxious is just stop worrying or just relax. Now, none of us like watching our kids when they are stressed or anxious. As a parent, you know, you took it upon yourself the responsibility to take care of those children and keep them safe. And when you see them in a difficult position, feeling helpless and hopeless and scared, it's really painful for you. I know it from my own gut. So it's no wonder you want to stop that feeling as soon as possible, both for them and for you. But by telling your child to just stop worrying, you achieve nothing. Just think about yourself for a second. Can you stop yourself from worrying just like that? When you're feeling stressed, anxious, and angry, can you just, you know, flip a switch and turn it off? I'm not sure that you can do that. So why would you ask it of your child, right? Asking your kid to just stop it will not work because they don't have the tools to do that. And again, it's going to leave them alone with their feelings, unable to change anything, feeling like they've done something wrong, that they're hopeless, that they're weak. Again, shame seeps into their core. What can you do instead? So you may already know what I'm going to offer, right? Instead of just telling your child to chill, relax, stop worrying, validate what he feels or she feels. They are probably worrying for a reason. They can't just switch it off. Now, sometimes the reason that they're worried about is non-significant as they think. Sometimes they worry about something in their mind that scares them that it's not in reality. And I'm not talking about delusions, okay? But, you know, in the last episode, in episode 22, I talked about how one mother can help her daughter. It was a Q&A session, how she can help her daughter approach other children during recess and playtime and not be afraid by of rejection. Okay, so that girl is afraid. Her mind, her brain is acting scared and afraid of something that is not really dangerous to her. Physically, I mean. So yeah, sometimes our brains are kind of afraid of things that are quote-unquote unreal. But it doesn't mean we can just stop the worry on its tracks like just like that. So you can, again, use validation and say something like, whoa, I see that you're really worried about this and that. I can see that you're really worried about the dentist appointment that we have. And well, yeah, sometimes dentist appointments can be can evoke worry and you know, it can hurt sometimes. But then you can add some reality check, like, you know, we're gonna do whatever we need in order to make you feel as little pain as possible. Or maybe you can say the truth, that is, if you're going just for a checkup and there's no actual hurtful treatment involved. And you know, sometimes you have to support your child through pain. Sometimes you have to help your child go through something that is painful. But telling them to not worry about it, or that it's not going to be painful, it doesn't really work. What you can do is you can offer some relaxing thoughts. And this is more relevant for those situations that it's not a one-time situation, not going to the dentist. But for example, if your child is really worried about, for example, the coronavirus, okay, in the times we're living right now. So maybe he has a lot of worries about getting infected, or maybe about you or his grandparents getting infected, or going back to school during these times, etc., etc., etc. So you can use some kind of techniques to help them mitigate the worry. Instead of telling them to stop worrying, you can help them to worry less. So here's a little trick that can help. It's called a worry box. You can just take a simple box. It can be like a shoe box or something of the sort. You can make a fancy box. You can do whatever you want. And you can let the child, you know, paint the box, draw on the box, whatever, if he or she wants to do that. And now whenever they have a worrisome thought, ask them to write it down or draw it. Okay, and put it in the box. Okay, another option that I like to sometimes use with my clients is to create a worry notebook. Just take a notebook, and instead of a box, just write in the notebook the worry thought when it comes. And by doing so, you are helping your child to externalize his or her worries and stressful thoughts. So, you know, you can even have this little kind of ritual when every evening you take the notes out of the box and you read them together. And again, remember, validate, and never shame when you do that. And then you can explain to your child why they are just worries. They are not necessarily a reality. And you can, you know, throw them away and then start anew the next day. And this kind of externalization sometimes helps children get rid of those worries. Not from, you know, 100% to 0%, but to mitigate the worry to a much lower amount, and then they can sometimes let it go. So, just to quickly recap for now, the first thing that you should never say to your child is there's nothing to worry about. The second thing is don't be such a blank, sissy, baby, little girl, whatever. And the third thing was just stop worrying or just relax. Now let's move on to the fourth thing that you should never tell your anxious child. And that is, look at your sister or your brother or whatever. They are brave. Why can't you be like them? Now you see, children, they tend to be really competitive. If you have more than one child, you can probably see that. And they see how we, the adults, tend to compare things. And they have the same tendency to do themselves. Then they are constantly busy with who is better or who is worse in this or in that. Now, sometimes they grow into being really competitive as they grow up, like in sports or in finances or whatever, and sometimes they don't. It doesn't really matter. But for this discussion, if you were to look at your children in a stressful situation, and then you notice that some of them react better to the stress, so maybe they're not afraid or not stressed, okay? So some parents in those situations, they may tell their anxious one something like, "Hey, look at your brother. He's not as anxious as you are. Learn from him. Be like him." Now, it doesn't have to sound so berating like I just did it. Maybe it can sound more supportive, like, "Hey, Johnny, look at Timmy. He's not afraid. Maybe he can teach you how to stop being afraid." And sometimes it can be just downright shaming, like, "Hey, look at Johnny. He's brave. Why aren't you more like him, huh?" Now, it doesn't matter if it's shaming or not. Well, it does matter, because shaming, as I've said, is toxic. Never shame your children, okay? But even the quote-unquote more supportive kind of saying that, it's just not fair for your towards your child to say that. Because each and every child is a unique snowflake, and he or she has their own tolerance to stress. Each and every child is different in the way they handle stress and anxiety in their minds and in their bodies. Even when they grow up together, even if they are twins, they can react differently. So you have to just put the comparisons out of the window. Because again, what will happen is that your child, he can't just, you know, Timmy can't just look at Johnny and become Johnny and give away the fear and become more brave. It just doesn't happen. So when you do tell your child something like that, you are again letting him feel alone with those feelings, feeling inadequate and weak in comparison to his or her siblings or friends. So don't do that. What can you do instead? If one of your children is anxious and the other isn't, well, that's great. You have only one child to calm down. Okay, so good for you. Now, help your stressed kid. Now, don't neglect the other one, because maybe the other one is also afraid. He just doesn't show that, or shows it in a different way. So we have to be conscious of both or more of your children all the time. Now, you can, you know, engage the calmer one to help, for example. And so you can engage them both in a game, and the game can mitigate the stress in a way. But, you know, just never tell them that one is kind of better from the other. Now, just a little note about the word brave, because sometimes you hear parents tell their children to be brave and don't be afraid, just be more brave. Now, being brave doesn't mean that you're not afraid. On the contrary, being brave means you are afraid, but you choose to act instead of giving up and succumbing to the fear. So don't confuse that. Don't teach your children, try not to teach your children that being brave is being fearless. Because fear is a super important emotion. It keeps you alive. And you don't want to give it up never, okay? So you can use the word brave, but just use it correctly. Tell your child that it's perfectly okay to be scared. Because those who are brave are scared. It just doesn't mean that they don't act. They do what they are afraid of. This is what bravery means. Okay, so that was the fourth thing that you should never say to your stressed out child. And let's move to the fifth, which is, stop that, you're stressing me out. Now, I once asked around on Twitter about things that people used to hear from their parents in stressful situations. And one answer that stood up was, stop being like that, you're stressing me out. Or, soon I'm going to start crying myself. And again, those are things that people heard as children from their parents, and it stayed up with them for 20, 30, or sometimes even more years. Now, this kind of response tend to come from two different reasons. One reason is that you might say it because you think it will calm your child down. You tell him to stop that, but as we've seen, it doesn't work. Now, sometimes parents try to engage the child in this kind of take care of me situation. So you ask the child to stop stress you out. Maybe it will give him the motivation to stop worrying and stop crying. But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't do the trick. Your child, again, they can't just stop whatever they are feeling, even if they really want to. What they may do is suppress those feelings and push them away, because they don't want to hurt you. But the stress will still run through their veins and affect their minds and souls and whatever. So by telling them that they are stressing you out, you're actually reversing the roles and asking them to take care of you like they're the parent in you, the child. But this is not the contract that you have with them. When you brought them into this world, you chose to be the adult, the bigger and wiser, as Bowlby, the father of attachment theory, described parenting. You're the bigger, the wiser, and you don't have to be the calmer, but you have to take the responsibility for the relationship. Don't ask your children to take care of you. You have to take care of them. Now, the second reason that maybe sometimes parents say these things to their child is that they're actually true. When your child is anxious and stressed and helpless, it can really push on your own buttons of stress and anxiety. For example, if you see your daughter anxious and worried about going to the dentist, it may evoke the stress in yourself that it may be tied to your own past experiences of going to the dentist or other things. It doesn't have to be the same theme. The stress itself may trigger your own stress, and that's fine. It happens to everybody. Now, again, as the same way you can't tell your children to stop being worried and stressed, you can't tell yourself to stop being worried and stressed just like that. Okay? But again, as the older and wiser and the bigger one in the situation, you have to take care of that. You have to take care of yourself. Okay? If you are really stressed when your child is, you should and can do something about it. By taking care of yourself, you will be in a better position to help your child. Okay? Now, at the time of this recording, because of the COVID-19 situation, there are limited flights. So I don't know when was the last time that you went on a plane and flew somewhere. But I bet you remember the safety instructions movie that they show before taking off. And they always say that in the case of, air pressure in the cabin gets lower, now oxygen masks will fall down from the ceiling. And if you have kids, you must first put the oxygen mask on yourself and only then on the child. And this is the same. Because if you don't have air for yourself, you don't have air to take care of your child. So do what you need to do in order to cope better with your own stress. Okay? It can be going to therapy or using mindfulness exercises to calm you down or learn some relaxation techniques. I just want you to remember, it's okay to feel stress if your child is stressed. Just never tell them to stop being stressed because it stresses you out. That was a hard sentence to say. Okay, so those were five things that you should never say to your stressed out child. For a quick conclusion, as parents, we inevitably see our children go through anxiety and stress. It's just part of life. And we do, I know you do, your best to help your child manage their own emotions and deal with stress. But sometimes we tend to do it in an unhelpful way. And saying things like, don't worry about it, relax, etc. are not helping your child. They usually leave them alone and feeling inadequate. But it's okay if you do say them sometimes, because the most important thing is your own intention and meaning. So if you really feel that they should stop and stop being a girl and cope on their own and that they're weak because they are stressed, if you really feel that, then I guess this podcast may be not for you. But I guess you're not that kind of parent. I guess you're the kind of parent that feels that it should be done differently. And that parenting should be more compassionate and positive. This is why you listen to this, and this is why you're looking for different things to say when your child is stressed out. So good for you for being that kind of parent. And it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay. I do this as well. Sometimes I blurt things and I regret them. The most important thing for creating security in the relationship between you and your child is not to never make mistakes. It's to own your mistakes and take responsibility for your mistakes and correct them. So you can always go back to your child 1 second later or 1 hour later or 1 week later and tell them, you know, I was wrong to tell you to stop being a girl, for example. I'm going to do better next time. And talk about how it felt for him or her when you said that. It means a lot. Now, if you want to know more about how you can create a positive, compassionate parenting for you and your child, and how you can raise a more secure and confident child, please join my free Facebook group. It's called Navigating Parenting, Raising Secure and Confident Children. And this is the place where we talk about these issues. And because it's a community, you can learn from not only from me, but from other parents as well. And realize that you're not alone in this, because we are not alone in this. We all have these hiccups and failures and stress and anxiety and whatever comes up. And in this day and age, especially now, we sometimes feel alone, which makes us feel sad and crazy. So why shouldn't we do it together? So if you want to join this group, again, it's free, and you can come and ask whatever you want to ask, anonymously or not anonymously, and you can help other parents, and you'll hear more from me in that place. Just go to apparentlyparent.com/Facebook, and it will take you right to the group, and I will gladly see you there. And just before we sign off, a quick recap of the 5 things that you should never say to your stressed out and anxious children. First thing was, there's nothing to worry about. Okay, instead, validate that there is something to worry about. The second thing was, don't be such a blank, such a sissy, such a baby, such a little girl, such a little boy. Don't do that. And the third thing was, just stop worrying or just relax. They can't just relax. Help them relax. Teach them how to relax or how to stop worrying. And I offered some suggestion for that, and we have more of that in the group. And also the fourth thing was, look at blank. Your sister, your brother, your friend, and be brave like them. Doesn't help. And the fifth thing was, stop that. You're stressing me out. It's not their position to take care of you. It's your position to take care of them. If you have any more questions about that, feel free to reach out to me. You can do so by going to the Facebook group, apparentlyparent.com/Facebook, or reach out to me on Instagram at apparentlyparent. I will be happy to hear from you. If you found this episode helpful, please share it on your social media, send it to your friends, and help them, help their children as well. And also subscribe to this show on your favorite podcast app, so you'll never miss episodes. And I have fresh episodes every Thursday. And I'm going to see you again in the next one. Bye-bye.